Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Kavanagh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
There would have been a right way for you to handle your own grief and handling of that.
Oh, well, if I had just sat in my little rocking chair, the terrified little person that I was, my dad probably would have come in and picked me up and sat me down on his lap in the rocking chair and let me cry and comforted me and told me everything was going to be all right. But because I was like, you know, he didn't know what, he was just like, what the? You know, and he was just really mad. He's like, you know, he was angry because of my, it was like I was happy to be sick. That, you know, and that wasn't at all how I felt. I was trying to be brave. And
right, you know,
and I remember it was, you know, years and years later that my dad and I finally had a conversation about that day. And he was absolutely shocked that I really was truly terrified and I mean, I couldn't even be sad that I was going to die because I was so scared because I didn't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a 7 or 8 year old child and you're told you're going to die, you know, it was just terrifying. And when my dad and I finally talked about it, he was like, well, you should have been on the stage because I thought you were really happy. And I was like, I was not happy. And I, you know, if I could go back and redo one moment in my life, there's a lot to pick from, but one of the top ones might be that moment, because in that moment, if I had been who I truly was and let my father have that moment of comforting me and holding me and telling me, as any parent would, that, you know, somehow everything's going to be all right, we're going to get through this, whatever, that could have changed so much of my life and I think his life moving forward. And probably for my siblings, too. You know, things would have probably been a lot easier for them. Moving forward. But man, did I call that one wrong. Thank you, Little Women, Louisa May Alcott, leading me astray, you know. But
yeah, it was your life experience, but I stand by your right to handle that moment in your own way.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I was thinking If I act like Beth, then I'm doing something good for my family. I want it to be like, you know, it's like when Scarlett would see her mother, Ellen O'Hara, and she wanted to be that good, kind woman, okay?
Yeah.
I wanted to be that Beth person, but it wasn't really who I was. I was a terrified little child, and I shouldn't have tried to make it easier for my parents. I should have just been terrified and let them comfort me in the vacuum of Jesus Christ, this is some bad news we got today about our child. You know, I mean, they were devastated. I mean, imagine, you know, you're at the doctor with your child and this is what you're told, and you got to come home and tell your husband, the father of that child. I mean, my poor parents. But I it was just one of those things that cross purposes, you know, it just didn't work out quite like it does in the books. And I think that's the lesson that I took away from that moment in my life, was that real life doesn't always happen like it does in the books, you know?
Yeah.
So, lesson learned.
I mean, my head's leaping ahead to future podcasts and podcasts about, like, the idea of being emotionally honest, I know is one that we have in our notes to cover later.
Yeah.
And just you bringing up, as you just did a few minutes ago, the fact that we have picked books that three characters know they're going to die and they go to death at perfect peace with it.
Yeah.
That's unexpected.
Yeah, it is. And it's challenging I think it's challenging for people who have, like me, who have health problems, but I think it's also challenging in another way for perfectly healthy people who don't have health problems. And that is to find some sympathy and some empathy for people in their lives, in the real world, who do have physical challenges, health challenges, because one of the things that I know, and I'm sure I'm not the only person in the world who's ever thought of this, but I firmly believe that if you've never had a serious illness in your life, you really don't understand what that does to a person. And people with chronic illnesses, I believe most people with chronic illnesses know that people who are healthy have no clue what chronic illness is really like. And there's the gamut of illnesses that could apply to is, we could talk forever about the different kinds of chronic and non-chronic illnesses that can affect people, and how healthy people don't really get that. They don't really understand that. And, you know, I feel like I'm talking about my dad a lot, but I remember when, you know, my dad was a long-distance runner. He was one of the healthiest people you ever would meet. And he never had any health problems at all until he was much, much older in life. And very oddly, he developed some COPD problems late in life. And he had trouble breathing while he was running. And running was his thing. His long-distance runs were, I mean, that was his passion. And he had to keep cutting back and cutting back on his running because he could not breathe. It was just too painful. And, you know, when I was little, my dad started our whole family running because he believed that would save my life, you know. And it really did, you know, help me stay alive. And I credit him with that and everything. But it was hell. It hurt so bad. I was a terrible runner. It never got easier. It never was fun like it was for some other members of my family. I hated every step. Every breath was like knives in my lungs. And it wasn't until he was in his 70s and developed these breathing problems. You know, he had no patience with me as a child when I didn't want to run. He would drag me by the hand, you know, run me around, you know, making me do it. And I'd be crying, I can't do it, I can't breathe, you know. And there he is, a 70-some-year-old man, finally, you know, saying to me, you know, Alice, I owe you an apology. And never in my life had I heard my dad apologize for anything, right? And he's like, I owe you an apology because now I know what it felt like. And I was like, oh my God, the sky's falling, you know, hell is frozen over, what's going on, you know. But and that solidified for me this fact that people who are healthy really don't understand. And yeah. And I think some of our book choices, you know, are great because they've been around a long time, these books, and people have experienced reading and seeing film and TV adaptations of some of these characters, and so they've come across this idea of health problems, people who are dying, and how they approach death. And even if they're healthy people who are reading or watching the adaptations, they're getting some of that, you know, they're getting some of that exposure to that sort of challenge in life. And so I feel like, you know, our book choices, as always, I always feel like this every year, there's so much that mm-hmm. people can identify with or find to connect with. And I think the fact that Little Women has, like you said, five complete, from childhood to adulthood, although Beth dies young, but still, five complete characters to watch and experience growing up and everything that people can identify with. I think that's amazing that we got five in one book, you know? Mm-hmm. Yay!
Yeah, she really handles her characterizations very well.
Yeah, and I think that's why this book has stood the test of time, in spite of its moralistic tone and content. I think it is because these are characters that, for the most part, are so fully fleshed out, and their points of view are so very clear. Like, we know Joe is so different than Meg, or Amy, or Beth. You know, they're all so different from each other. That really makes this, quote, little book, as Louisa May Alcott described it, as entertaining as it is, and as kind of a classic forever through the years. That's just what I, you know, that's my thought.
Yep, I agree, absolutely.
We've sort of digressed from structure, though, into the life of Alice as a child, you know. It's like, oops. That might make this, might have to be two episodes there. I don't know. I have to do my editing.
I figured this nice little break probably here is going to get edited out,
yeah,
right?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, because I don't know. I'd be fine if you wanted to include that whole part. I know that's highly personal. I don't know if you want to include that in the public part.
I think it's gonna, I mean, it's gonna be impossible for me to keep talking about Little Women without referencing
right.
some of that. And I think if I get it over with now, then in conversations in the future, we can talk more about all the characters and their stories, and it won't be about me and my health. But I do think, you know, that it might be relevant to have it in these earlier sure. podcasts. I don't mind sharing the stories.
If you're comfortable with that. Yeah, in my head, I was like, I my gut instinct is just to respond as your friend and not about the audience.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's certain things I want to tell you as your friend. Like, it's okay to respond how you responded.
Right. And I obviously, you know, and I don't know that we should necessarily cut this part out either, because I think it is important for people to understand that, you know, I am we're doing this remotely. It's going to be public. I am in a safe enough place with you as my arts partner in crime and friend that I can talk about, you know, these experiences from my childhood and that have to do with my health, which is personal and not fun and all that stuff. So, I mean, I feel like that might be a good thing to leave in, because creating safe spaces for people to, you know, connect with the books and stuff was always part of our NICE project from the get-go. Uh-huh. We wanted NICE to be, quote, a nice place to fall. It's, you know, it's a nice place to come and talk about things that might not be easy to talk about. So I'm not sure I will edit all this out. We'll see. Which might have lots and lots of episodes.
In that case, I applaud you for your bravery and being willing to be a little vulnerable.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Maybe I'm more like Beth than I thought. I'm being brave. Next up, we'll talk about structure in Jane Eyre. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.